to 19. Each one of you, including me, in life, we face the problems. Of course, we also face opportunities. It cannot solve by personal strength. Regardless you are a student, young professional, or even family, a marriage with children. There are moments in life, believe it or not, when the power of money, education, reputation, and influence suddenly become useless. Naaman, in the story, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 19, he is a living example of that truth. He was a commander, equivalent now this world, like the top manager, a top general. He respected, he successful, he honored, yet he completely helpless before the disease, leprosy. He had authority, but he had no answer. He had a status, but no solution. Naaman's story asks each one of us a serious question. When you face a spiritual disease or the challenge in front of us, how do we choose? Do we choose our own ways or we choose God's ways? Let's pray real quick. Our Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, I pray the Holy Spirit continue to use me to share the word from the scripture and only from the scripture. So I pray the Holy Spirit in the heart of the people in this room so they can hear the message. They understand the message and they can apply for their own life. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, you bear with me. If you have the Bible, just open with me. But in the dark like this, I'm not quite sure you can read. But use the iPhone, you know, that'd be fine. We need to understand about the real problem. Before you can work on the problem, try to solve the problem, you need to define what exactly the problem is. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man in the view of his master, and eminent because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was also a valiant warrior, but afflicted with leprosy. First, we need to recognize the real problem. In this story, Naaman was successful on the outside, but the disease on the inside he had to face. The Bible, if you study the Bible, leprosy often pictured as sin. Sin works quietly but destructively. If you study the history of the people in the ancient Near East, when the people had the leprosy, they would be isolated. I'm talking about the people of Israel. They would be isolated from the community. And if they walk into town, they need to yell to the people, "I am dirty, I'm leprosy, I'm not clean." Basically, tell the people, "Get away from me." That's how the society at that time, during the time of Israelite, how they see the disease. So, you understand about the sin from the inside. It stains the heart of the people. It would damage the relationships. It separates the people from God. The Bible in Romans chapter 3 verse 23 teaches us that all have sinned and no one can make himself righteous before God. And remember, sin is not merely a mistake, but a condition beyond self-repair. Some of you probably still in school, you may look like okay online. You look good on the picture, on the photo. Okay, sometimes you post funny posts, and you may have a lot of followers. But inside, maybe you feel anxiety, loneliness, jealousy, or even addiction to approval. Social media can hide the pain, but it cannot heal the soul. Some of you, probably young professional, you may have a good job, good income. Your career path is just rosy, very good. And you have ambition. Yet, if your heart still feels empty, you feel reckless, and it seems like spiritual dryness. Success, it can be just a decoration or decorate from the outside, but while inside, remain broken. Maybe. Some of you married couple with children, some of you in this room, you may own the home, good. You have beautiful children, outstanding. Every day, you maintain the routine, appear like a very stable life. But privately, maybe some of you may struggle with the conflicts, resentment, stress, emotional distance, hours, stability does not always mean inward peace. So many people try to become better people, to fix spiritual problems. On the surface seem to be improved. But remember, surface improvement cannot cure the root cause of the issue. So if we cannot heal ourselves, where do we find the healing? If you can see the slide I have on the picture, real nice. Okay, next one. I can see. Okay, so you need to understand about how God solved the problem. God's methods, verse 10 to 12, chapter 5. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. Your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean." But Naaman was furious and went away. He said, "Behold, I thought he will suddenly come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the side, cure the leprosy." But Abana and Phapha, the rivers of Damascus, not better than all the waters of Israel. Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. So in this passage here, the answer is found in God's methods. When Naaman came to Elisha, he likely expects something spectacular, dramatic, a public ceremony, a powerful display, or an impressive ritual. Instead, Elisha simply sent the word through his servant, "Go and wash yourself in Jordan River 7 times." remember the people of the past is the status. He's a general. He honor. He powerful. So when he came to Elisha, so I expect probably he stand outside. What exactly his expectation? I am honor. I am commander. You, just the unknown or little known in my world, prophet, you will need to go outside and greet me. And probably had to be something, the Bible says, like, probably wave the hand, okay, on him and pray his God to heal the leprosy. That was his expectation. So Naaman became angry because God's solution did not match his expectation. It's just so too simple, too ordinary. It's nothing fancy and too humbling. So he expect like this, and God's solution, go to Jordan River and bathe in there 7 times. So simple. This is where many people stumble today. God's way is often simple, but it is not easy. Why? Because it confronts pride in our heart. People want to earn blessings. People want to control the outcomes, and they feel they deserve it. But the gospel message is clear. It's only 3 things. Repent, believe, and obey. So simple. Like you go to school. Some of you go to school, you struggle with schoolwork. But you refuse to get help. Because accepting tutoring feels embarrassing. And you refuse it. And some of the students, the pride keeps them from the help they need. School have a lot of help. But me? Get help? No way. So from school work, they keep getting behind. And that's what we call pride. Young professional, you might be overwhelming, but refuse wise counsel. Because sometimes, just like me, when I was a young, hot-blooded engineer, I know everything. I can handle everything alone. And the pride blocked my growth. But of course, after about 1 week, I recognized I need help. And I had to humble myself. Boss, I have no clue what I'm doing. I need help. And I'm kept lucky because he assigned me a mentor, a good mentor, helping me, guiding me on the way. And of course, after about a few months, I know the rope. I know how the system works. So it's on way when you accept a new job, on way be humble, accept help. A lot of people in the company know much more than you. School, academics, but practical world is completely different. The same thing, husband and wife know they need counseling, know they need prayer, they need honest communication. But if they delay seeking help because they do not want to admit weakness, the pride will delay the healing. A lot of people, even the Christian, they respond to God the same way. They reject the simple obedience because they want something more impressive. The Bible sometimes say, they're very simple, pray. But when you need help, you pray. But you're not obedient enough to pray every day. So it's easy, pray. The Bible may say, like, read the Bible, maybe learn one two verses a day. It's just like the sword of the Holy Spirit, it got word. So when you're in chaos, you have to face the world, you put out the sword of the Holy Spirit and there is nothing. And then you will be in trouble. So consistent, a little thing every day or even every week. A little thing in God's words. Simple. Very, very simple. Okay? Yet, if transformation does not happen merely by hearing truth, transformation happens through obedience. Sounds easy, but we have to be practiced in order to do it. So how do we do it? Verse 13, 14 in chapter 5, 2 Kings. Then his servants approached and spoke to him, saying, "My father, had the prophet told you to do something great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he say to you, wash and be clean?" So, you see, Anaman went down and dipped himself in Jordan 7 times, in according to the word of the man of God. And what happened? And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. So you can see the transformation happened from very, very prideful man. Okay? Expect a lot, expect all the impressive things. But he listened to the counsel. But this counsel basically not from Elijah or the high position people, but actually from the servant. And the servant, and you know, I see, you know, these two persons, this servant probably get trained in psychology if you study psychology today. Oh, and pay a little bit attention like this. Father or boss, if the prophet told you do something very, very impressive, okay, amazing thing, probably you do it. Okay? But here, he asks you to do so simple thing. Why? You should not try it. So he humbled enough himself. He went to the Jordan River and obeyed. Not once, but 7 times. The Bible said his flesh was restored like that of the child. He was completely cleansed. Just imagine if he still have a little bit pride to him. He listened to his servant. He went to the side of the Jordan River. But he not jumping in. You have to imagine with me the situation, okay? Situation number one, he got angry, he go home. Second situation, he said, "Okay, I listen to you." Okay, imagine the river. He stand on the bank of the river and say, "Okay." So he get the bucket, pour on him. Okay, say, "Wash." So he get, okay, second bucket. What happened? He not be clean. He still on the bank of the river. The Bible said, or the prophet said, he had to be in the river. Okay? Situation number three. He jump in the river. But, okay, one, two, three, and then he get out. After about 3 times, he said, nothing happened. I give up. So he walk in, out. What happened? Nothing happened. But the Bible said, he obedience to a message from the prophet. He dipped in the river 7 times. Not one, not two, not three, not four, and then stop. It requires some patience here, okay? Some of you, when you're driving travel vacation, and if you get lost and suddenly you don't have map, you don't have a GPS, you're about halfway and suddenly some doubt happened in your mind. I'm not quite sure I'm on the right path or not. And then you probably stop and go through the gas station and say, am I on the right road or not? So the action of Anaman, you have to be in the condition of the man, the prideful man. Okay, jump in the river, dip in there probably about 5 times, 6 times, or even 3 or 4 times, the doubt will happen. Okay? And a lot of folks, they do it for about 5 or 6 times, and then they get out. It's not working. So obedience is mean have to do exactly what the Bible said. And it will completely cleanse. The biblical principle or the spiritual principle, they're very clear. Miracle do not happen on the riverbank. He can stand on the riverbank and say, okay, I'm here. I'm listening to you. I'm right here in the river, on the bank river. Please, miracle happen. I pray it had to happen. It won't happen. And that's what the Bible tried to communicate to us. The miracle happened when you and I, other people, have to step in through obedience. It means into the river, the Jordan River, not another river. That reason why, when you study John 3:16, whoever believes in him is mean Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life, not in another God. The Bible is very clear, very simple. Why I tell you this? Because a lot of people, they may jump into the river, but not the river of Jesus Christ. They will not be cleansed. The sin is still there. So what I'm trying to communicate, or this passage trying to communicate to you, faith is not only agreement in the mind. Faith move the feet. It means get in the river of salvation into Jesus Christ. So some of you may say, I believe God wants me to forgive. They know the Bible. But they continue to hold the bitterness. Belief without action bring no freedom in Christ. Did this person know the Bible? Yes. Because the Bible said, forgive. But it's still here. Whenever I see that person, my blood boiling. So it means it's still here. Okay. So belief without action bring no freedom. So this person is still bondage in the sin. The young adult may say, I know I should trust God. But if you trust God, but you're still living in the constant anxiety, you're refusing to surrender your control to God, know in truth without practicing, it changed nothing. And that's what we started today. You have to release a control to Christ so he can direct your life. He has more wisdom. And the wisdom of man starts with the fear of God. But if you didn't release a control, you're still under the bondage. The family, the parent may say, this is what I communicate, the same message to the adult. Family comes first. You hear this very often. Family comes first. But never make time to pray for the family. Time for prayer, for worship, or even presence at home. Values spoken. But if not practiced, we lose the power of that statement. For a while, nobody or even the family member would trust you. You lose the trust. So many believers stand near obedience, but never enter it. These remain stand on the bank of the river, very near, but they cannot even one step in the river of salvation, of forgiveness of Christ, so they can have freedom in Christ. So if they still remain on the bank of the river of salvation, they may stand there, they analyze it, they know a lot of Bible, they delay it, they hesitation, they will be like Anaman before he be humble to get into that river to be cleansed. Perhaps today, God speaking to you. Perhaps today, God calling you to let go of the secret sin. Let go of on the comparison between you and somebody else, or even the destruction or destructive influence. Perhaps God calling you to surrender the ambition. Ambition is good, but it has to be under control, under guidance of God. Surrender the anxiety or even identity, but build up on achievement. Achievement, good. But if that's your priority of life, you may be on the wrong path. Perhaps God calling you, husband or wife, to restore the prayer home. If you're not doing it, start now. Pursue forgiveness. Make sure the communication talking between husband and wife. Don't hide anything. And lead the family spiritually. You have to reveal or understand yourself. Are you stand on the bank of the river? Are you in it? So the final question I would ask you to meditate or think about it. The final question is not whether you know God's will, but the final question, whether you are willing to step into God's will. Most of you probably know God's will, but do you really step into God's will by action? Naaman, for conclusion, he could return home proud and unchanged, but he chose humility, obedience, and surrender. And in that place, in the Jordan River, he was transformed. And today, probably you and I, just about every day, we face the same decision. But you have to think about, when you make that decision, do you have direction or the guidance from the scripture, from God or not? Because if not, you may stand on the bank of the river. Okay? And you may come up with a bunch of excuses, fear, and control. And the Bible this morning reminding us, you have to step into that river, Jesus Christ, with faith and obedience. Follow God's instruction. So when you need and when you face a situation, you have something to help you. Real transformation happens when you humbly accept and obey God's way. So I pray that God's word this morning, you not only just hear it, but you walk in obedience and experience His transform power in your life. Let us stand up so I can pray for you. And Father, we thank you very much because this morning your word teaching us about humility, obedience, surrender, and transformation. So I pray God's word will be in all the people in this room, including me. We need to step in God's word and his will and his command today. Trust in God today and obey God today. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with all your children in this room from now and forever. Amen.